Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Slice off my legs so my children can live.
Is that like Dance to Save My Mother's Life?
I think so, yeah, yeah. Adam Owen has given us that title this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam.
I saw it and I was like, Adam, you're winning this
week. Yeah, friend of the show.
Yep.
Go back and listen to the podcast season because they're good fun.
Slice off my legs so my children can live. There's a lot going on in that title, isn't
there? There is, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll move on to that one. Later on.
Yeah.
Yes, we're doing slasher movies.
Slashers. No guests today.
No guests, no, unless you want to believe that one of them's just there's around.
There is something in the walls.
Yes.
But I don't know. There's someone.
I think we'll be fine. By the end of the episode, I think we'll be fine.
There was that guy who was just stood outside on your lawn looking into the window. We did have to close the blinds.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll be fine.
Is he still...
I wouldn't... Don't make eye contact. Okay, it only attracts them.
I mean, you can't. He's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't know if I'm making eye contact or if he's asleep or whatever.
He could be asleep. Yeah. Just standing, he was standing still.
You've got to be awake to be holding that sword.
Yeah.
So...
Dumb. slasher movies.
Adam gave us title on Facebook. You can find us on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast. And you can find us on Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show. We ask for titles every week based around the genre. That genre you can vote for on our Patreon page. For just $1 a month, you can have a say in what genres we do every week.
Yeah, hop over there to patreon.com/ Lives of Pitch podcast to help us out, help us make the podcast better, and get a load of cool stuff for yourself.
So slashy slasher movies.
Slashy slash slash. Hey, let's go to www./ honorable mentions.
From... Joseph Dix, we've got Wrestle Massacre. This is a great, great concept.
Everyone's wearing fucking masks.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible. It's set in a Mexican luchador ring.
Yeah, and when they give a description to the police as to they're like, there's a guy chasing me and he's got a mask on and he's beating people to death with some nails through a board.
And a chair. He's just hurling piñatas at people.
Why?
Oh,
is that a luchador thing?
No, there's a scene. It's just Mexican.
Okay,
so like, there's a scene where he's got this body just dangling up, and he just lets a load of blindfolded kids go to town.
I feel like you're conflating like wrestlers with just Mexicans.
That was a Mexican thing. I just like the idea of a wrestler tying someone up and then letting a lot of kids beat the shit out of them. Yeah.
Okay, I'll concede this, but we've got to do some setup for it.
Okay.
So, they tie someone up, yes, but it's like they're in some kind of like plant that makes those things, right? So he ties them up, takes them to a party, and then it's like a... imagine it's not like someone he's captured. Pre-credits, he's cornered someone in like a piñata factory, and he's like tied them up, and at the end of the pre-credits, we think he's gonna kill someone. It zooms in past him onto a piñata, which then cuts to everything else changes, including lighting, except for the piñata itself. It's exactly the same point in the screen. Cut to, like, just like let the lights turn on, and then someone hangs this thing up. It's like, oh, it's quite heavy. This ties it up onto the tree, and then these kids come out, and then as they're bashing this thing, like, just blood and guts are just falling out, and then he's like, What kind of ridiculous pinata, like horrible pinata, did you bring? It turns to the delivery man, and it's a guy in a mask getting into a van.
Well, I'm thinking the people he kills are the people who used to beat him in wrestling matches.
Okay.
So, like, he's this killer is a wrestler who is constantly beaten.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like wrestling sort of fix, and you know who's going
to
win.
He had a bad... He was supposed to win a thing.
Mm.
But, and it was like his entire life.
Mm.
We'll say he was into some bad stuff. Like, the mob were like, you've got to win this thing.
Mm.
Or, like, you've got to... maybe even, like, he was... You know, like, in Daredevil, where his dad is too proud to take the fall?
Yeah.
That happens.
Mm.
But then people beat him to death outside the ring. Or, like, he gets injured.
Yeah.
He tries to win, and the guy who he's supposed to lose to, like, breaks his back.
Mm.
And then...
So he's, like... He's not only in a mask... But he's in, like, a giant metal brace.
Bandages and casts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's giving himself extra legs. Like he's cut his own legs off at the spine and then reattached someone else's to himself so he can walk around.
I thought you meant like a spider.
Yeah, no, that too.
He's just giving himself four arms and four legs to crawl around the place. For some reason.
So he can wrestle better.
The main guy is Jack Black.
All right, yeah, because he wouldn't want anyone to play a Mexican who was actually Mexican.
Yeah. He's played a wrestler before, a Mexican wrestler.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
There you go.
In Nacho Libre.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
It didn't look good when I watched the first 5 minutes of it.
Fair.
But to be fair, the first 5 minutes are just Jack Black running through a field, I think. So.
Yeah.
School
of Rock, really. Yeah. It's the same opening 5 minutes.
Wait.
All Jack Black films have the same opening 5 minutes.
It is weird. I did wonder why Kong had...
It's the title sting for his production company.
Here I am!
Dancing through a
Rock
field.
On! Rock on! So, yeah, what's it called? Wrestler?
Wrestle Massacre.
Wrestle Massacre. So,
I've got to have a cameo from The Rock.
Yes, so I think it's like a WWE style thing.
Mm.
But this guy was Mexican.
Yeah.
So he did the piñata thing because that's a fun thing, like having children break into a stinky, rotting flesh piñata. And then...
He's just like, go to town, kids.
Oh, he doesn't say anything. I think he's gone by that.
Okay, fair enough.
Their parents are there and they're just like, oh, here we go. And then yeah. So
the parents have to put it up. Do they? They're both blind parents.
No, the parents. Like the pinata. It's just a pinata from the
outside. This pinata smells really bad.
Yeah, it smells really bad, and oh, it's quite heavy. It's quite a heavy pinata. It's just about as heavy as like a full grown man like me.
This feels as heavy as a rotting corpse, he says.
And it's buzzing from the inside.
Oh.
So, like, that happens, and I think, basically, it transpires that he's killing people off before they do certain wrestling events. And it's like, you know, wrestling's all like a tournament, and then he's putting together... He's already killed all the competitors for these wrestlers.
Mm.
It happens to be that the wrestlers that got to the end of this final, because he's killed all their competitors, are the people who... beat him up in the street.
Mm.
So the people who like took his legs away from him and took away his wrestling career, he's got them to the final where he was, so he can kill them all there on live national television. And then it's just like a wrestling match because these people are trying to fight back against the guy.
It's just a wrestling match, except he's drawing blood.
He's drawing blood. He comes in with like a harpoon. And they're like, I've got a chair, and he's like, harpoon. And then
he shoots him with the harpoon straight through his torso.
And he's like, you know, there's that big arch as the wrestlers walk into the thing. So he's at the top there with a harpoon, kind of, and he just like winches this person up. Because they've got a harpoon through their gut, and he's just winching them up to dangle above the thing, and then goes brings a phone to his ear, and then children all run in with baseball bats.
He's got an army of children armed with onto the teeth with baseball bats. Yeah. Just 10 baseball bats each.
So, not worrying too much about that, because that's only good to think about, not to like do, because it doesn't make any sense. Where did he get these mad children from? Ruining all their birthdays with flesh piñatas, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're so traumatized. He just finds them. Do you want to join my army? No, I think he doesn't say anything. So he just writes it down on a blackboard.
Yeah.
And they nod, and then he says, "Well, he just nods towards the van."
I tell you what it is. This is so creepy.
The Wrestlemobile.
Yeah, this is so creepy. He takes the corpse piñata to a birthday party. And then watches from a distance to see which children are, like, enjoying it. Like Macaulay Culkin in The Good Son. Yeah. go and root out the psychopaths early. He breaks into school records things to find out the ones who've had, like, troubling issues and stuff. To recruit them for his child army of beating people to death on piñatas. But that's all like a side thing because the rest of the film, like the final half an hour, 45 minutes, is like them, or you know all those backstage interviews you have in the wrestling?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't watch much wrestling as a kid, but I remember all the backstage, like, banter and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like that. All those camera crews are there and everything. But all these people, because nobody knows if it's an event or not.
But it's like Five Nights at Freddy's. Yeah. So it just keeps cutting, and then eventually you see just, like, just legs dangling at the top of the screen.
Well, no, like, yeah, one of them is that, but, like, the rest is just him with, like, various bits of, like, wrestling-themed... Like, one he strangles to death with a belt.
Yeah.
Like one of those reward belt things.
I don't think you could actually strangle someone to death with one of those.
Yeah. But he does. He manages. And then, like...
You see someone, like, mangled and tangled up to death in the ropes.
Yeah.
As well.
And one he comes after with a ladder, but then Jackie Chan's there and stops him.
Oh, Jackie Chan's
there. That's actually how the guy gets
Jackie
away.
Jackie Chan is the deus ex machina in the film.
At the end of the game, so Jackie Chan is like, I want to say, someone's like trainer. And
No, I think Jackie Chan plays Jackie Chan.
Okay, the actual Jackie Chan.
Yeah, so he is just... Thing about Jackie Chan is right.
So one guy
when he's not in films, when he's not in films, he's actually a superhero.
Yeah. Well, no, one guy goes all the way to Hollywood.
Mm.
Like, he's running, he's on the road, and he's just got this like death-proof car coming after him. The Wrestlemobile. He's got like fiberglass arms coming out of it in like an aggressive pose, and then and a piñata on the top just ready, and then
just bobbling up and down like one of those sort of rocking horses you find at kids' playground,
and then like he goes all the way to Hollywood, like bangs on Jackie Chan's door, like, "Please, Jackie, help me! There's a guy chasing me with a ladder." No problem.
Does he have an umbrella as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
A chair?
Yep. Yep. So that was Wrestle Massacre.
Yep.
Okay, from Stephen Thomas, we've got Schrodinger's Boxers.
Schrodinger's Boxers?
Yeah.
Boxers, as in, like, people who punch people?
No, boxers as in just, you know, Schrodinger's Box?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The cat, the dead cat one.
Oh, yeah, the dead cat one.
Google it.
And I mean, yeah, if you don't know what it is already, but like, okay, so
Schrodinger's box. Instead of googling it, gonna paraphrase briefly, explain what Schrodinger's box is, right?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah,
Schrodinger's cat is a cat that may or may not be alive or dead.
Yeah, in a box with poison in it.
Yeah,
it may or may like until you open the box, you don't know.
Here's Schrodinger. He's got a cat. and they're best friends. This is the ghost story we're about to be told, right? Because like this is the origin of this bad guy, right?
Called Schrodinger.
The cat.
The cat's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the cat's got a big bushy mustache and a monocle.
Yeah, right.
Schrodinger, played by Jermaine Clement, doesn't question it one bit.
So
keeps putting him in boxes.
So these kids go into their basement of their new house. Their parents have just moved into this neighborhood.
This is a Goosebumps episode.
This is all I know how to write, Dan. So these kids go into the basement and they open this box.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's whoosh, 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 wind blows everywhere.
No, I've got it. There's this basement, right?
Yeah.
The prequel is Schrodinger putting other cats in boxes.
I mean, the pre-credits.
Yes. Thing. Yeah, the cold open.
Right. So like, well, let's lay that out. So Schrodinger, scientist, he's got a pince-nez, you know, that one of those like nose pinch glasses things that don't have side ear things. Yeah. They're just normal things, and he's like, my name is Schrodinger. I don't know what nationality actually Schrodinger was. And he's like, I am Schrodinger.
I think he might have been. No, he wasn't American. I know.
I don't care. So anyway, I'm Schrodinger. I have to find out if I don't know whether my cat is alive or dead, whether it is alive or dead. I've got to find out if I put poison into this cat's box. Will it die? Will it live? Or will it be neither? Will it be both?
I don't know right now, and that's the way I like it. Quantum mechanics.
Something.
He just writes quantum mechanics in big letters on a blackboard and then cold open, cut
and
open.
And then it's just like equals and then question mark.
Smash cut 30 years later to the 1980s where there's these kids riding around on bikes.
Girls just want to have fun playing on the radio.
There's these kids riding on bikes. The cast of Stranger Things.
All right.
It's the cast of Stranger Things in an alternate reality where all these kids are just in Stranger Things.
Okay.
And they're like, oh yeah, that's old man Schrodinger's house. Yeah, like, do you want to make a bet you can stay the night in there? And so that they go in to old man Schrodinger's house one night, and they all split up and sort of rummage around. And he's left... There's like a...
I think the first person goes in. So it's like... Have you ever seen Beetleborgs?
No.
So that was an old 90s kids TV show.
Yeah.
But at the start of that, in the first episode, some bullies challenge the kids to go into the house, right?
Okay. So you've got the kids from Stranger Things being bullied by Chris Evans.
Yeah. And Chris
Evans.
Full-grown man.
Just Chris Evans, actor. He's like, hey kids, I bet you can't go in that house.
He's got a backwards baseball cap on.
He's playing his role from Not Another High School Movie.
But he's got a backwards baseball cap on and horizontal striped t-shirt. Long sleeve t-shirt.
He's put on a bit of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, he just looks like he has because of the horizontal long sleeve t-shirt. So, anyway, the door slams shut on, I think, possibly two people. Like, it's not all of the cast of Stranger Things.
Okay.
Two people have been locked in.
Okay.
So, and then, like, the door opens again. Like, you hear screams, door opens again, no one in there. Police go in to investigate, try and find the kids. Nothing. So now it cuts to 30 years later.
So 2010s.
We've already done 30 years from Schrodinger to 1980s. And now there's another 30 years later.
They never knew if those kids were alive or dead. It's Schrodinger's house.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in Jumanji.
Yeah.
Imagine if in Jumanji you had, like, a pre-credit scene where the creation of the box, there was like a sort of like, long ago there was a legend of people in a jungle who created a weapon of incredible power, and then cut to 100 years later and you got like Robin Williams, this kid, and then Jonathan Hyde being like, oh, it's the past, and then he disappears into the game, and then 30 years later.
So smash cut to 30 years later. Yeah. It's the kids from Stranger Things again, except with a mustache.
Yeah.
Same age. We're just different people.
Yeah, okay. And they're like, toilet paper out here.
Yeah. They go to the house, right?
Yeah.
And turns out, right, like, downstairs, yeah, in the basement, there's, like, all this science and dry ice going off and stuff, and a strobe light going up and down, green strobe light or whatever.
Little Tesla, like,
and you just see a load of boxes in amongst the mist.
Yeah.
And let's say Dustin from Stranger Things walking up there with a torch. He's like, oh my God, this is scary. He just sees the box open by itself.
Yeah.
And then a cat with the face of Jermaine Clement jumps out of the box and grabs him by the face.
Yeah.
And
shouts, I had his and now I'll have yours.
Cut to credits?
No, he's still in Faces.
All right.
Dustin from
got nothing to do with quantum mechanics at all. The cat's just stealing faces.
Dustin from Stranger Things, it gets killed.
Mm.
And put in a box. and then they eventually, they've been chased around the house a little bit for a while by this cat monster, this Jermaine Clement cat monster. And they figure out that the cat's trying to put equal amount of people trapped forever alive and dead in these boxes so that he can prove to...
No. The cat, right,
yeah,
has got an infinite amount of typewriters.
What?
Yeah, an infinite amount of typewriters.
Right.
And... it can't get...
it hasn't got enough monkeys.
It can't get monkeys.
Yeah.
Because monkeys aren't around. It'll get the next best thing, and that is humans.
You can't.
And to be honest, right, you don't need an infinite amount of typewriters to write the complete works of Shakespeare.
You just need the one.
You just need the one with the one human
Shakespeare
who knows...
did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shakespeare did it with just one typewriter.
I mean, it's easy now because the works of Shakespeare are already written. So you can just copy them down.
If Shakespeare can do it without a typewriter, you can do it with one typewriter. You don't need infinite.
He did it with a feather.
Yeah.
Feather and ink.
Think about that for a sec.
Shakespeare didn't even need a type. Where were we going with this film?
I think it's trying... The cat is trying to put equal amounts of humans in dead boxes as living boxes so it can finally complete the quantum thing to have itself never killed.
Yeah.
Because basically what happens when Schrodinger, these kids find out, because one of them, I don't know, is really into science.
Mm.
They find out through the calculations in the house, because they've been chased around by this cat and it's in the vents and it's like, it does all the things that a cat does.
One of them likes science.
Yeah. It does all the things that cats do. Like, it sits on top of a wardrobe waiting and then just pounces on them and stuff. Like, it's a slasher, only in that the claws are really sharp.
Yeah.
And they figure out that, hey, when Schrodinger did his experiment, the cat was sent to, like, a limbo world, like some kind of void zone, where the only way to escape it forever... is to finish the experiment by having someone dead and someone trapped alive forever in a box.
What a horrifying ending.
Well, no, because Dustin's already dead in a box.
Yeah.
Someone else is trapped alive. Millie Bobby Brown is the one who's really into science.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to stop what's happening. She can't bring Dustin back to life, obviously. But she can save the one who's been trapped in a box forever.
And that is Jermaine Clement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got trapped here by my own cat.
It's Jermaine Clement from the Beatles.
Yeah. Good trap deal by my own cat. I say Jermaine Clement, it might be Paul McCartney.
Might be Ringo Starr.
Either one. They're interchangeable. The best Beatle. Either one. Ringo Starr, Paul McCartney, or Jermaine Clement.
Ringo Starr, the best Beatle.
One of the Beatles. That's Schrodinger's boxes.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks, Stephen Thomas. thank you for those titles, guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on this slash fest.
Slashy slash fest, indeed. The slash.
Why hasn't Slash been in a slasher before?
It's too obvious.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's why.
I mean, here's the thing. You know the person who replaced Slash in Guns N' Roses?
No.
It's called Buckethead.
Lord Buckethead.
No, Buckethead. He wears a KFC bucket on his head. That's not a joke. I could totally imagine.
Guns N' Roses got so much better once Slash left.
I can imagine that Slash. I can imagine Slash starring in a slasher where he has to try and escape the attacks of Buckethead as Buckethead's trying to chase him out of Guns N' Roses.
A KFC bucket?
Yeah, yeah. It's just
is it the same bucket or a different one?
I think it's like a chicken bucket, so I think it's like a hat shaped. Like, I don't know.
Is it the same bucket each time?
I don't even like Guns N' Roses.
I don't like Guns N' Roses either.
It might be another band. I think Slash was Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, okay. It's the same. But like, I just for a second thought that, like, I think it might be another band, the one that Buckethead joined.
Maybe. I can check if you want.
Wow. Maybe. Yeah, probably. Might be best. So, yeah, thank you for those titles. Remember, you can give us titles any time of the week. Titles for us to pitch. You can find us on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch show as well. Also, if you want to give us some support, if you're liking the show, if you want to give us some extra support, remember to go to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast and give us some monetary support or bonus stuff as well. So you can vote on the genre each week. That's $1 a month. There's a load of bonus content on there for more than that. So yeah, feel free to go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast. Just give it a look. You don't have to sign up if you don't want to. Just give it a look. Maybe there's something on there tweaks your fancy.
Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Is there this week a Yes Very Clever Award?
Oh, yeah, there is, actually. Yeah, the Yes Very Clever Award. Should we play the sting?
Nah. All right, go on then.
Yes, very clever.
There it is.
Yes, that was the Yes Very Clever Award. This award we give each week to a person who's given us a title that can be considered as a pun on an existing film title.
Yes, or one we just couldn't use for the life of us for a movie.
Yep, basically. So this week, the Yes Very Clever Award goes to Max Revels, and that is The Shinning, and no one's wearing shin guards.
So it's just that Simpsons joke.
Yep.
But also, your shins are vulnerable?
Yep.
It's just
Matt, the terrifying thing is, right, your shins are always vulnerable.
It's Warwick Davis going around with little, really short little blades on the end of his shoes.
No, he's going around with a lot of cocktail sticks.
Just stabbing him with cocktail sticks. Just really little tiny blades, like about the length of a razor blade, but like pointing outwards.
Yeah.
So that he can just kick you in the shins.
I mean, anyone could do that.
Yeah, but it's Warwick Davis. He's been in a slasher before.
He was the leprechaun.
Yeah, he was a leprechaun. We haven't talked about that yet.
No.
Have you seen any of
them? No.
I haven't seen him either. No. But
they don't look great.
Let's just say he's probably up for it.
Yeah. Warwick Davis playing himself.
Yeah.
Warwick Davis.
Deadly leprechaun. Oh, no, you mean in this film?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant in Leprechaun, Warwick Davis plays himself. Like,
all right? That's offensive, but
yeah, that is
go on then.
Yeah.
No. He's playing. Warwick Davis is playing himself in The Shinning.
Yeah.
So he takes people's shins out.
Life Too Short. isn't it? It's it's Life's Too Short, but a spin-off where Warwick Davis cracks.
Becomes a serial killer. Yeah.
Well, only a serial shinner.
I mean,
you'd have to kill anyone to slash them.
They end up bleeding to death.
Yeah. You'd have to kill anyone to slash them. I think the film ends with Warwick Davis really realizing what he's done when he kicks Jeremy Paxman's shins so hard that his leg comes off.
Well, that's the thing. He takes them out into a remote, secluded place so they can't walk back.
Yeah. Oh, no, he doesn't want them to die. That's the thing. He just hates these people he's worked with.
He drives them.
And he kicks them. But the thing is, because it's just Warwick Davis the actor, like, the film ends when he's made his first killing and he's accidentally killed this person.
Mm.
And he's, like, on his knees, like, crying. And then, like, maybe I could do it again. And then
The shinning too.
Yeah.
Warwick Davis Boogaloo. He drives people out to a remote Scottish island.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is a nice holiday, Warwick. He's like, yeah, it is. Kick him in the shins, take him out. They can't walk. He gets on the boat back to the mainland as they crawl over the hill to find a valley of skeletons with their shins broken.
Just all these like little tiny indents.
Yeah. Like,
just,
oh,
only
shit.
On the shins.
Yeah. Just the person, I think Val Kilmer is the person he's taken this time.
Yeah, but Val Kilmer this time around finds a cave in which survivors live.
There's, who's he work with? George Lucas is in the cave.
Yeah.
Who else has he worked with? Ricky Gervais is in there.
Stephen Merchant.
That's the problem. He took both of them on the same island.
Well, no, you see, actually only Ricky Gervais has survived. Because Stephen Merchant's shins are so big that Ricky Gervais was able to use it as a sort of walking stick.
Just use Stephen Merchant himself as a walking stick.
Just his shins.
Who else is in there?
I don't know, it doesn't matter. Yeah, just enough people.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically these survivors are like, how are we going to get off? And then Val Kilmer's like, well, I know. Next time he comes in, we're going to leave a trap for him. And then they do.
This is like, you know how The Odyssey was originally read out word of mouth?
Yeah.
And then written down. It was one of the things that's like, you know what, another thing's working in this story.
Yeah, we didn't really put a structure to this one. It's just happening as it goes.
The Odysseus is getting lured into the island by Warwick Davis with these. He can see him off in the distance. He's got these shoes on that are just twinkling a little bit too much in the sunlight, in the Hellenic sunlight.
Yeah, they steal his blade shoes.
Yeah,
and turn them into blade gloves.
Weird deleted scene from The Odyssey there.
Yeah,
starring Sean Bean. Legally, we can't do it. That's the tagline. The shinning, legally we can't do it. Yeah, so that was the Yes Very Clever Award.
Yeah.
Now on with the main pitch.
Yes.
Which, if you remember, the title given to us from Adam Owen, and that was Slice Off My Legs So My Children Can Live.
So this is not the shinning.
No, this is not the shinning, no.
Okay. Right, are we thinking Saw-style Jigsaw Killer?
Maybe.
Like someone being made to make a choice?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's a sort of like, we don't know it's a slasher movie until halfway through the film? So like, what
if... No. I've got it. You know, what's that film called? 127 Hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. This is where I was going.
Because I was thinking, I had an idea for a killer. This is completely irrelevant to the name of the film.
Right.
But I had an idea for a killer earlier when we were talking about slasher movies. And that was a killer that wasn't a human being, but it was a machine made entirely of bear traps.
Okay.
Like, you know, spiked bear traps.
Right.
So it walks around like a human being, but it's got no face, and it's just bear traps.
Okay.
So, but basically, we get someone in a suit.
yeah,
in a morph suit or whatever, and then with super glue, stick a load of bear traps on him.
Sounds dangerous.
Nah. And then, yeah, they're running around the forest, just like, bear trap man.
Okay, well, that we'll save that one for later.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you're on something with 127 hours, right?
Yeah, not with a killer.
Because... Well, maybe.
Not
maybe,
with my
maybe
idea
later,
for a killer.
Because we've got... The thing is, the first half of this film is I've got nailed down, right?
Yeah.
So it's Macaulay Culkin and... Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
And they're a married couple.
Okay.
And they've just taken their kid. They're taking their kids on holiday.
Mm.
And
their kids played by Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
And Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah. And basically, older than them.
Yeah.
So
I'm just listing off child actors.
Yeah. So
who kind of went off the rails a bit.
They're going on a hiking holiday.
Mm.
Kids are very self, you know, they look after themselves kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they're going off exploring
in
the, around this cabin that they're staying in. And then, but they're sort of, you know, they're out of firewood.
Mm.
They're out of, they're out of food. So the parents are going to go down to a store that's like about 5 miles down the road. They're going to walk that. The kids can stay behind in the cabin, right? Mm. So already we got a cabin in the hills set up sort of scenario, right?
Cabin in the hills?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's not the saying, Matt. That's not how the saying goes.
What are you about?
Cabin in the hills.
I don't understand.
Okay.
What?
Cabin atop the hills.
Cabin, nestled atop the hills, a cabin scenario.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A
wood logged house nestled atop the hills.
Yes. A cozy and quaint.
A cozy wooded lodge
nestled
atop the hills.
Atop the hills in the Midwest of America, presumably. So, anyway. The kids are staying behind in the lodge. Mm. In the cabin. It's pretty far away from anything, you know.
Mm.
And on the way, the parents, like, get into a 127 hours scenario.
Yeah.
Where there's a rock fall.
Okay.
And, like, one of them is knocked out unconscious.
Okay.
The other one has their legs trapped under a boulder.
Mm.
And... so they're in the scenario where one's got to cut the other's legs off.
Yeah.
Right?
In comes in superhero bear trap man.
No. Like, that just happens. But remember,
bear trap man.
So we're 25 minutes, 30 minutes into the film.
Yeah.
And
in
already,
comes bear trap,
already we have the cut your legs off bit, right?
Yeah.
We've already hit that peak.
I felt as though with a title like this, we would just get straight to the point.
Straight down to the point, right? So, right, they eventually crawl their way, because otherwise the kids are going to starve, right?
Mm.
They need to get themselves back to the kids, get their kids some food, and stuff like that. Eventually, they get to the store, and then are able to get their kids food and leave. Right?
Mm.
Eventually, go home. But Macaulay Culkin's got no legs now. Right?
Yeah.
So,
what? I didn't read the news.
Cut to. 25 years later.
Yes? What? Oh, I know where this
Haley Joel Osment has been traumatised all his life.
Yeah, because he's seen his...
Because he never wants to go back to a log cabin.
Okay.
But, like, his... This company wants to hire him.
Mm.
And it's a big job. It's a really important job, but they are going to... the training is taking place at a lodge. in the woods. So Macaulay Culkin needs to get over this terror of log cabins. So he's speaking to his therapist, and his therapist is like, maybe you should go back to the place and see that it's just a cabin, etc. So he's like, okay, I'll do that. Takes his wife out with his kids. And as they're going to the shops, a rock fall.
It's Bear Trap Man.
It's Bear Trap Man who runs the store.
No one questions it. No one questions this man built entirely from bear traps.
Running the store.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's normal, except for when he wants to go kill people. He dresses up in a big bear trap.
Fair enough. It's the weirdest Scooby-Doo episode.
Who's this? And reaches down to grab their hood off and just, gee, my hand's in a bear trap.
That's where Scooby-Doo villains went wrong.
They should have built their entire costume out of bear traps.
Yeah. They wouldn't be able to get it off then, those pesky kids. Without losing a limb.
So now, Haley Joel Osment, he's...
Shit, this is my... Bear Trap Man was my idea.
Yeah.
I've got to make the fucking poster.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Who's Bear Trap Man played by?
Steve Buscemi.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, and he's like this, he's sort of like the he's at the shop, he's sort of the first time round, you know, with Amanda Bynes, and he's like, what's going on? Who's stepping foot in my... He's a bit blind, you see.
Yeah.
He's pretending to be. Okay. I don't know, maybe he is. I tell you what, he's got a crutch.
Okay.
Like, because remember, the important trope is, you've got to show that these people have a disability that makes them terrible.
Well, like in Scooby-Doo?
Just in horror in general.
Oh, yeah,
usually someone has a disability.
He's got a milky eye as well.
Yeah. And he's stealing people's eyes. It's like, it's always the same.
Stealing people's eyes.
Oh, right.
If it was like... Wait, hang on. So he's going up to these these lodges atop the mountains and just stealing ice from the cool boxes.
Yeah.
Just shoving it in, like, making a little bowl out of his shirt and just...
And then running out.
And just running away. And then
you'll never catch me, dickheads!
The people go to the ice cube. I said, oh. He's not taking all the ice.
Yeah, just less.
I thought there was more ice than this.
I'm sure there was more ice. Huh.
Must have just melted.
Yeah.
No. I mean, he goes back to his shop and sells it again.
Yeah.
He's making money from...
Yeah, that's right.
He's made the ice trade.
But, right, here's what happened to Steve Buscemi.
Oh.
On his way back on one of those runs where he stole the ice.
Rockfall.
Had to cut off his own leg to get out. 127 hours he was there.
They're there for 127 hours every time it happens.
Yeah. Apparently, he discovers that through experimentation, that's exactly how long it takes for a human to get ready to cut off their own thing.
This is... You know how aliens...
Yeah.
An alien...
Right.
You know how in Alien 1, there's one alien?
Yeah.
In Alien 2, in Aliens, there's more aliens?
Yeah.
Is this 127 hours?
Yeah.
There's just loads of them.
Yeah, it's 127 hours. So he's discovered that it takes 127 hours to come to terms with cutting off an own... You know,
he times it!
Yeah, every time. He's done it enough times now.
He times it every time they do it. And when the rockfall falls on his leg, he then gets his watch out and is like, right, well, I've got 126 hours left to start cutting my legs off.
There's a place where... No, because like the first time it happened to him. Mm. So he was the first 127 hours.
Yeah.
And then after that, he started doing it to other people.
Yeah, okay. So he's on top of this mountain pushing people...
Yeah, pushing rocks down.
Rocks, yeah.
But also, when you get hit by a rock in that area, don't know why, you go into this weird dream nightmare state where... Like, you're really impressionable.
Because
when you get hit by a rock over the head, presumably, you're going to be pretty impressionable for a bit.
Yeah.
So he goes out dressed in a bear trap costume, going snap, snap towards their legs, snap, 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 like, and in that impressionable state, that's where the 127 hours, how you spend that 127 hours, is he, like, drugs you up. And while you're in that 127-hour state, he, like, suggests that you cut your own legs off.
So, down in the basement in his shop, he's got racks and racks of legs, that he chooses to put on the leg that he lost.
Yes. Yeah, no, no, like, that's... I reckon he chooses a different one every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like Stephen Merchant, long legs, hopping around.
Yeah.
Because he can't reach the floor with the other one.
Oh.
And then...
When he's playing basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Haley Joel Osment has like... I don't know whether... Well, that's going to break the cycle, right? Mm. So, presumably, Haley Joel Osment... Maybe already takes a load of psycho suppressants or something like that.
Yeah.
Because he's terrified of going to this cabin.
Mm.
And so that doesn't interact with the... He's already annulled to this drug that Steve Buscemi gives people.
Mm.
And therefore, it doesn't work. The suggestion doesn't work. Haley Joel Osment notices but doesn't cut his own leg off.
Mm.
So he like gets out from underneath this boulder somehow. using ingenuity, because it's something he brought with him because his dad had the same thing happen to him.
Yeah.
And then goes back home, and then basically the previous two nights he used to hear these footsteps outside, and every day it was always with a limp, but always a different rhythm of a limp.
That is really low stakes.
Yeah, it's like boo-doo, boo-doo, boo-doo. And then sometimes it's like boost, boom, boost. Where he's just like, the leg is so tall that he's dragging the knee along with him.
Okay.
Yeah. So we need to figure out how Steve Buscemi gets his comeuppance.
Slice my legs off so my children can live. That's what the film's called.
Yeah. It seems perfectly appropriate. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We just need to finish it. Like, and I think it ends with Haley Joel Osment's children slicing Steve Buscemi's legs off so that they can live.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I tell you what, they're fighting, right? Mm. So basically, like, Haley Joel Osment's run back to the cabin, got his family, they're all getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
And then they start the car, car's going down the winding mountain passage, when suddenly a 4x4 they know from outside the shop, Steve Sherry's 4x4
plows into
boom, 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 knocks him off the road. They both go tumbling down into a ravine, right?
And this is where Steve Buscemi is. They've both survived the crash.
Yeah. And the children.
And the children, and the wife. And Steve Buscemi is crawling legless towards Haley Joel Osment, covered in bear traps.
Yeah.
That's Steve Buscemi covered in bear traps, not Haley Joel Osment. And Haley Joel Osment's, his legs trapped under the car.
Yeah.
He's avoided the rock fall.
Yeah.
But now he's being trapped by the car. And he screams to his wife... Like, I think one of his kids has got...
A hacksaw.
You know, one of his kids has been trapped under as well.
Okay.
They could save the kid. Both the kids, even. And so he screams to his wife, chop my legs off so the children can live!
I think Steve Buscemi, I think at some point they need legs to get out of the ravine. So they have to cut Steve Buscemi's legs off and share them. Like, between the kids. Everyone here has lost their legs. Apart from Steve Buscemi, who the kids have to then, because Haley Joel Osment and wife are cut, are trapped beneath the car, the kids have to get up and cut Steve Buscemi's legs off.
Fair enough.
So that they can live. It's a breaking of the cycle.
Yeah, a complete reversal. So Steve Buscemi's left on this mountain.
Yeah.
With no legs.
Yeah.
Covered in bear traps.
Yeah.
Okay.
They use one of the bear traps to cut it off.
Yeah.
Have you seen Severance?
No.
Watch it. It's just basically the film which, right? Well, not, no, it isn't.
Like, I was like, there's a film like this,
it's
already?
It's a work outing that's about this wacky.
Okay.
So it's got Nick Frost in it. Very good.
Danny Dyer as well?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Worth watching.
Mm.
Just like the fact that someone gets their legs chopped off. If someone gets their leg chopped off by a bear trap, and then they have to put it in the mini fridge in the coach, it's like a work team building outing.
So they all go home with different sets of legs.
I mean, at some point they go to the Steve Buscemi's shop and it's just like loads of different legs that they can use.
He's selling legs.
Yeah. Well, he just likes to choose from them.
He's in the leg trade right now.
And what becomes of Steve Buscemi?
He
dies in the ravine?
No,
he's got no children, so he dies.
That's the lesson of the film.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Trunchbull thing, right?
Have children so you don't die alone.
Yeah, in the ravine under a rockfall.
But like, that's the thing. A bear comes towards him. Yeah. And like, these traps didn't work at all.
No, a bear comes towards him. And then he's like, ha-ha, I made a bear traps. Like, like the bear gets trapped.
Yeah.
And now the bear's like...
He cuts the bear's legs off.
And he's about to get away.
It's an after credits scene.
He's about to get away until, like, three other smaller bears come charging towards him and tear him to pieces.
Yes. The bear trap suit came around full circle.
The bear trap suit, children, and leg chopping off all was used in the finale. And if that's what you didn't if you didn't come to expect that from Lives of Pitch,
if that's not set up and payoff, I don't know what is.
Then I guess we're bad writers.
Yeah. I mean, you said that with sarcasm.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. No, we're great writers. Yeah. That's a perfectly cohesive piece of cinema.
So, yeah, thank you for listening to the episode. Before we go, I just want to thank our patrons. They are Alex Keane, Mihir Trivedi, Brent Black, Spicy Boy, Stephen Douglas Thomas, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Joe Hegarty, and Ross_Originals. So thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. You're helping the podcast get better, and you're helping us carry it on. Mm. That's really good of you.
So thanks for that. Remember to go to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast if you want to give us some support. And thank you, Adam, for the title as well.
Yeah, cheers. And don't forget to go over to soundcloud.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast to listen to all of our episodes, as well, of course, spread that link like wildfire. Make sure that the people, if you enjoy the show, make sure that the people around you enjoy it too. Just make sure that if you think they'll like wacky film titles and plots, then they can enjoy the whole thing with you. Then you'll have something to talk about.
Like what?
Like, you know, if that person you know really well and know is into wacky film plots and writing, and you've got nothing to talk about, then, you know,
talk to him about this.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Boop boop boop.
What?
Boop boop boop.
All right.
Biddy boop boop.
Is that like your new catchphrase?
Yeah.
Boop boop boop.
Boop boop boop.
All right,
boo boo. Hello, boo boo.
All right, boo boo boo.
Gotta get the bear traps and cut my legs off.
Robo Yogi.
Robo Yogi.
Hello,
beep beep boo boo.
Beep beep boo boo.
Beep boop boo boo. Lol.
I gotta get myself a picnic hack net.
A picnic Bitcoin.
All right. Just tech words.
Pokemon?
Pokemon?
Picking a cryptocurrency?
I'm gonna type in a keyboard. Technology.
USB port.
Floppy disks.
CD-ROMs. Fucking hell. Right. Until you have to cut your own legs off when you're trapped in a rockfall.
And you have no children to save you. Stupid. You should have had children so that they could save you.
Yes.
You idiot.
So I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner. Remember who pitched it.
Bye. Bye.
It's like that. It's like failing at a choose your own adventure book, isn't it? You neglected to bring the children with you. You died on the hills of
Every ending ends with you didn't bring your children along.